This is a prevailing prayer with GSW, an inspiring teaching that nurtures Christians' ability to pray right by the Spirit. This revelation will open your eyes to how to be led by the Holy Spirit in place of prayer. God bless as you listen.
This evening, I'll be teaching a class on trying the supernatural. Trying the supernatural. This is the prevailing strategy for the day that I want to teach about. It is try the supernatural. I noticed that when people have issues, life issues most of the time, life issues, maybe they couldn't get a job. Maybe they couldn't get married. Maybe they couldn't have children. Maybe they were stagnant and they couldn't move forward in life. If they perceive that anything is wrong in their story or their journey, of course, we all know that there is no measuring tape for everybody's journey. We all know that there is no measuring tape. Most of us that are complaining about one thing or the other, it is simply because we are looking at others and we are assuming that they are going ahead of us. We are always removing all the struggles they are also facing in their own life. We are always removing it as if it doesn't exist. And then we tell ourselves that, oh, myself and this person got to America at the same time. We both got to America in 2010. We both got to America in 2020. He already is using a car. I'm not using the car. Ha, Lord, something must be wrong. They must have followed me here. Oh, we both got to London in the year 2015. I know here in Nigeria before I left. We came to London, we did our masters, we did our work now, trying to get a job, but I couldn't. Now he is already a manager at this place. It's always how we as individuals feel that where we should be, we are not there. We never put into factor that in the journey that we have with God, as the one who leads us, there are times when, even though we're always on the move, there are times when it slows us down, that we might adjust to the next level of glory that he wants to release to us. We never think like that. So many of us just complain, lament, and automatically, we assume that the problem must be spiritual. In trying to solve our spiritual problem, some of us look inwards. We begin to say, maybe it's my past sin. Maybe it's the sin of my father, the sin of my mother. God said he will visit the sin of my ancestors to the fourth generation. Maybe it is one sin that I don't know that is standing in my way. Those who taught us to pray like that are evil and wicked. They do not understand scripture. Those who taught them scripture do not teach them, but it is talking that those of us who are Christians will believe anything like that. Why? He said, and I quote him from scripture, he said, it has long been said that the fathers ate sour grapes and the teeth of the children are set on edge. He said, but it will no longer be said so anymore. This was Old Testament. He said in the Old Testament, the soul that has seen it shall die. So if anybody is preaching that somebody's father's sin is being visited on the children, then that person is talking to somebody who is not born again. So it is true that if a family is not born again, the father may do something wrong and then the children will be suffering for it. Always it is true in life, what they call the law of karma. But when you are born again, you have been cut out of that family. You have been separated from every attending illegality that has been committed by anyone, and you have been plugged into Christ. That was what Apostle Paul meant when he said that we are wild olive trees and that we are cut and grafted in Gibidia. We are grafted into Christ, who is the well-pruned olive tree. And therefore, we are not taking our nourishment from Christ. So therefore, we are no longer going to suffer the sin of the wild olive tree, nor bear the fruit of a wild olive tree, because we've been grafted into a well-pruned olive tree. This was what I was talking about. The day I became born again Christian, I was cut off my natural roots, and I was gifted into my supernatural roots. That was scripture. Which means that if my father did anything, my earthly father, my biological father, if he did anything, if there was any curse laid on him, if there was any blame on him, if there was any sin on him, I am not a partaker of it. My lot in Christ has been predestined to be upward and forward blessings only. Upward and forward blessings only. Upward and forward blessings only. This is my lot in Christ. This is what the Bible says concerning those of us who believe. Those of us who are Christians. Those of us who have been praying for a month. If you've been joining us in prayer for a month, and every time you are praying, you are saying, Father, forgive me. Father, forgive me. You are wasting your time. You are wasting your time. Your sins were long forgotten. It was written clearly in the scriptures, Colossians. He said that he himself has nailed our sins on the tree. He's broken down the record of our transgression by his blood. He said he took our sin, he took it to the sin, and he nailed it. And then he used his blood to wipe away every record of wrong. That is scripture. I just wanted to lay a foundation for you to understand that if in your thinking, you are saying that it is not well with me because if my father or my mother or somebody did something or somebody did something, sometimes you are thinking that way, you are your own worst enemy. Any man or woman who is thinking that way does not move forward in life. Why? Because you are attributing to yourself what providence has not attributed to you. For example, I have my international passport. I have a visa that can serve me for a long time in certain countries. Let's say I get to that country and I see a Nigerian who is an illegal alien. And both of us are talking by the roadside. But I have my papers, I have my visa, I have everything. But he doesn't have it. And both of us are on the street and the person said, this country is very tough. I cannot get a job. I cannot get this. No black man. They are not employing any black man. They are not giving any black man the opportunity to walk on the road. When they see you, they search you, they rob you, they do this, they do that. And the person is talking like that. Because the person assumed that both of us don't have the necessary document. But I have the document. Then the police officer shows up on the road. And this other person, please, picks race. And we will not run. I will stand. I would greet the officer. Hi, good afternoon. The officer would greet me. Oh, can I have your papers? I show it to the officer. The officer says, oh, all things are fine. Block or mate. Bye-bye. Officer will go. It is the sinner or the one that has transgressed that must run. But as long as I do not know that I can't run, because I think because I'm black, we are the same thing. We are not the same thing. I'm not a criminal. My color is black, but I'm not a criminal. I'm literally a global citizen. Empowered by God and anointed by God to open the door of nations and to step into every nation and take dominion. So I go into nations with confidence, with absolute confidence, because I'm going as one who God has ordained unto nations. And so I do not have that kind of mindset. But if I had the same mindset, when that man ran, I will also run. Now, if I run, police officer will chip both of us. And they're chasing us, God forbid they bring out a gun. Let's say some area in America, let's say New York or Bronx or somewhere where they're very violent. That's how they bring out a gun. God forbid they shoot you. Later they shoot and they find out that you have your papers. They will ask you one question. What did you run? You don't have no answer. This is not, he doesn't have a paper. You have a paper. You run, you see, because you can run out of ignorance. You can then suffer the fate of a sinner when you are righteous. As a Christian continues to think after I've been born again, that it is my father's sin, my mother's sin, my uncle's sin, the family name, the ritual that my uncle did, this sin, as long as you think that way, you are your own saboteur. You are the, so don't go far. The problem, the reason you are not moving forward is you. And I've come today to deliver you. The truth sets free. There is nothing like the truth when it comes to getting free of the dross of religion and wrong beliefs. But the second person I want to talk to is the person that, when you say that you are not moving forward, you do not think that it is your fault, but you think it is the enemy. In your head, it has been programmed. It is some witches. It has to be some wizard. It has to be some enemy somewhere. It has to be somebody in your village that is doing kru, 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 kru. Somebody is always waking up, calling your name and saying it to you. That is the person's permanent job. The person took the job that he will not go to the market, he will not look for things to eat. It is you, the permanent assignment that he has in life is to destroy you. And so you are thinking that this person is at work again. This person is at work again. Let me tell you something that the Bible says. It says, woe to them. Woe to them who believe in false gods. Do you know what that means? It means that in as much as that is the person you have placed in your mind that is not allowing you to move forward, you are believing wrongly because you are born again. And therefore, the reason for your woe is you. Let me say that again. Anybody who believes in false gods, the Bible says it will not be well with the person. If you are here, you are born again Christian, there is no God. The Bible says, but we know that. So there is no other thing that can afflict you in Christ. But once you believe something is afflicting you, you are the reason for your problem. Why? Because you have placed your belief in the wrong entity. You have come to believe in darkness. You have come to believe in witches, in wizards, and you have convinced yourself that they have power over you and that they are the ones disturbing your life. That is why your life is full of woe. Either you are thinking you are the cause, or your father is the cause, or your sin is the cause. It is in your thinking you are in trouble. You are thinking it is the devil, the enemy, the witches, the wizard, the incantation, some people at night, some trees in the village, some people. Even as much as you are thinking of that also, you are in trouble. Why? Because for the believers who are taught how to think, there is a way a believer must think. And that way is important because it is the only way the believer can unlock the supernatural. So a lot of Christians are stuck in the natural realm, even though they have a supernatural spirit. How frustrating can that be? They have the Holy Ghost. They speak in tongues. All of us are speaking in tongues here. So they have the Holy Spirit. You cannot deny it. But they expect that the Holy Spirit will automatically take them to Pisgah. They expect that the Holy Spirit would automatically take them to the heavenly Jerusalem. They expect that the Holy Spirit would automatically take them to the throne of grace. They expect that the Holy Spirit will automatically bring them to the presence of the Father. This is what they believe. That they are not born again. I started speaking in tongues. I received the Holy Ghost to be seeing visions. Automatically, I should be having intimate conversations with God. Automatically, I should be walking in the light. Automatically, I should be giving prophecies. Automatically, I should be behaving. I should be walking in the light where I should walk. But they find themselves, even though they are speaking in tongues, they find themselves pained. When they are praying, they don't feel the rivers of living water bubbling in their tummy. When they are praying, they are distracted. When they are praying, they don't feel anything. They don't feel any movement. The Spirit of God does not move them. They are just they just like, but I'm going I speak in tongues, but I think it's mental tongue. Some people will tell me. I think my tongue is mental. It's my head that is speaking it. It's not my spirit. Because let me tell you, Babinga, I've been speaking in tongues for 15 years, but I don't feel the things you talk about. Hey, it is not your head. Remember that before you became born again, you can't speak in tongues. You could not speak in tongues. And at that time, you have a brain, you have a mind, you have a head, you have mental, you have a mental faculty rather. But you couldn't speak in tongues because you are not born again. Therefore, that eliminates the question of maybe my tongue is mental. It eliminates it forever. The tongue you are speaking is an accent, it is an agreement by the Holy Spirit with your human spirit that you are not a child of God. So you have that seal. You know you are a child of God. However, how a child of God is supposed to demonstrate the Holy Ghost? A child of God is supposed to reveal. A child of God is supposed to transform. How is that he's supposed to be changed? He says that we are changed. We are changed as we are living in God. He's supposed to be beholding him so that the child of God begins to take on his image. You do not know it. So, again, you are born again. Nobody can question that. You are born again. You have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which means you are speaking in tongues. However, you are not changing. Why? There is a process to the transformation of the Christian. Even though he received the baptism of the Holy Spirit at once and began to speak in tongues, he received salvation at once. He became saved once and for all. Once saved, you are saved. So he became born again, which means he has received the gift of salvation. He received the Holy Ghost, which means he has received the seal of salvation. He or she is reading his Bible and is walking with the Lord the way he knows how. There is something we call the mind of Christ. The Bible said that we need to renew our mind. We need to transform. He said, by the washing of the word, he said, by the washing of the word, he said, by studying the scriptures, by breathing on the scriptures, by continuously singing, hey, talking. He said, talk one to another, talking, singing. He said, in hymns, in songs, he said, in spiritual tongues. He said, not just your thinking, your thoughts to be all the things that are good, that are lovely, that are of good report. He said, think on these things. So there is a way a believer is supposed to begin to think. Now that you know that if the Lord should kill you, like you die, and then wake you up again, you will have a new mind. But the process of the Christian is that we will die to the flesh and that we would regenerate our own mind. We are going to purge it, and that we are not going to put in a new mind, a mind of Christ. That process involves you simply deliberately changing your thinking pattern. Because it means the way you used to think before you became born again, you can no longer think like that now that you are full of the Holy Spirit. That is still operating with the old mind, the full of the Holy Spirit, will not ascend. Or she will not walk in the fullness of the Spirit. Why? Because the content of your mind and the content of the Spirit are not the same. I say this all the time. And you have to understand why. It does not seem as if your way is not opening. Things are not working for you. I adopted a young man some years back. And I adopted him as a 24-year-old because the parents were late. He was used to, what's that area? Okukumaiko. He used to live in Okukumaiko. He was the only child of the parents. The mom had mental illness. The dad was a drunk. When he reached out to me and I had to intercede, the mother had beaten somebody with her teeth. The mother beat the person on the neck. And the mother took off all the flesh that her teeth. And I had to pay for the hospital bill. I had to pray that the person that the mother beat would not die because I had a mental problem. So, we had to, that was when I realized that I had to help this boy. And I took him as a son. I didn't take him as one boy from, no. I did the process. When the parents were late, I brought him into my house. I gave him free access to all things. I told him, today you are my son. I told him, I said, what did I say? I said, today you are what? My son. You have access to things that the biological children of this house have access to. Nobody will give you a special plate that we used to eat. Nobody will dish out food for you. you would the high the when they cook, when they make food, everybody would go eat, we would eat normally. We would go shopping together, we would do everything we want to do, we would do. You are my son. I've accepted you as the oldest son I have, and your younger ones are with you, so train them. And immediately the younger ones took to him. Ah, they began to call him. They were very good together. But you see, this young man, he didn't believe me. Once in a while, I'll see him. Rather than sleep on the bed, he will sleep on the floor. I'll go to his room. I'll call him. Why are you on the floor? He will say, yeah, I don't want to see myself. I'm spending your money too much. You cannot be spending my money too much by sleeping on the floor. There is a mattress, and you are not sleeping on it. And it may get dirty. You will now have to get a dry cleaner to clean it. I don't want to cost you money. I say, no, don't think like this. This thinking is not good for you. I said, enjoy the largesse. At your age, what do you want? Okay, so that you will be confident. Learn driving. Be driving the car. The driver, take her. Let him be driving. Learn, be confident. Dress well. When we go out, nobody should know. Nobody, if I tell people you're my first book, if they should suspect that you behave, you will say, yes, sir. And then we will go out and still notice. When they want to, he will tell the younger ones. The younger ones, he will tell them and tell daddy that you want to cook. So down will come, daddy, we want to cook. I say, okay, go and get cooked. Uncle Michael wants to cook too. I say, no. This is not how I'm here. You are supposed to be the one speaking on behalf of your younger ones. But now you are letting the younger ones come talk to me. No. Why can't you just be bold and accept me at my word? My word. I said all things are yours. You please enjoy all things. You. All things. I will talk to him in the morning, talk to him in the afternoon. He couldn't enjoy all things. Sometimes I'll see him eating out of the pot in the kitchen. I would meet him in the kitchen. He would hide the pots, sit down with it, be eating from the pot. So why are you doing this? Said, because another plate would be dirty. I just thought if I eat it from the pot, I wouldn't have to wash. He said, no. You can see that your younger ones don't eat in the pot. Why don't you just be like them? Learn how to be a son. Don't be a slave. Oh, I don't want to be imposed. I say, no. When you do like this, you are denying me my blessing. I want to be blessed. I want to be blessed. I want to be blessed. And you are depriving me of my blessing because you are not enjoying the way God has adopted me and taken care of me. That is not the way you are behaving. So I sat in there, I explained to him. He says, see, I was lost. God found me. He didn't just find me. He taught me mysteries. He showed me things that many who had been Christian before me did not know. He gave me keys to many. I know things that outstand my ability to comprehend. I see things. I walk in realms that I do not know. And I wonder, why me, Lord? Why me? Why would you do this to me? And the Lord said, all things are yours. As far as your eyes can see, as far as you can reach, it is yours. I said, this is how God has treated me. I'm the most spoiled son of God in this world. I'm delinquent to a fault. God gave me all things. Anything I do, however I do it, God says, I am behind you. In time, suddenly. I said, therefore, I'm trying to make sure that you enjoy the same thing. That I may tell the Lord that as much as I enjoy it, I'm showing somebody to how to enjoy it. I led him to Christ, filled him with the Holy Ghost. He went off to school. He joined the fellowship. He was ministering, healing the sick. He would send me videos, send me pictures. He would say, "Daddy, your son. I'm your son indeed. I'm healing the sick." He joined the FCCF. Oh, I'm now the pastor of FCCF. He became a deacon, ordained at the age of 27. Ah, he said, "I'm not a deacon." I said, "Ah, oh God, glory to God." And then he will come home. When he's in school, I just send him money. He will be free. He will do all the wonders. He will send the pictures. When he comes home, he will go back to his old mindset. If he wants anything from me, shoes, all these things, he wouldn't even knock on my door. He would do a list. He would do a list of the things he wanted. He will now be whispering in the ears of his younger ones. And those ones, and I said, go talk to daddy. Just tell him, I want those sneakers. I also want jeans. I'll say, I have shopped for you. When I traveled, I bought everything you need. That's your box over there. I will then bring the box out more than he asked for. I will give to him. Next time he comes, it will be repeating the same process. I told him, I said, no, I've told you. Each child has a box. When I travel, everybody knows their box. When I come back, just pick your box and check what is in it. I would have made provision for you. Last time I traveled, I came back. His box was there. He came. He didn't. He didn't. He, this time he had graduated. He had graduated from the uni. He had done ROIC. He came home. He was looking at the box. He was biting his finger. I didn't see anything this time. By now, he had been with me, let's say, 8 years or 7 years. So he wasn't getting it. He wasn't getting it. So he spoke to my son, the younger brother. That one came and said, Daddy, Michael wants to take something from his box. I said, no. Let him come and talk to me himself. He should come and say, Daddy, my box. That's all. That was not, I didn't tell him to just, I just wanted to wean him off that behavior. Day one passed, day two passed. All of us went to Numa City. When we got to Numa City, I saw him sleeping again on the floor. I was like, oh boy, oh boy. My patience was getting away. I said, oh boy, we got sleeping rooms. You can sleep in the hotel, you have a bed. Suddenly, I saw him sleeping by the dining, by the suit doing by the bar. You sleeping? I left him there. Didn't say anything. This time, I didn't tell him, get up. I didn't do it again. I've done this since you are 24. You are now 32. My God, or 33. Why? How long will I do this with him? That mindset is a problem. You see, it is not for lack of access. I remember the first time we traveled together, we were on a flight. It was frustrating. I never knew in my life I'll enter a plane. I never knew in my life I'll get into a plane. Daddy, daddy. I said, don't behave like this in public. Even if you are excited, when we get to the place, you cannot say, daddy, thank you. I really enjoyed the flight. That is you must be calm. You must stop behaving this way. But that is how many Christians are. You are in your father's kingdom, but you did not allow your past to go. You hold on to your past. You hold on to who your parents were. You hold on to your belief that you can never get somewhere. And yet, you've been given all things. All things are made, provisions for all things were made ahead. I remember that last time when he was leaving, he said, oh, he has to go. He wants to go somewhere. After NYC to go get a job, I said, I want to get you a job. But he said, oh, I'm already disworking with somebody. I said, no problem. Then I told him to pick that box. When he picked it, he knelt down and said, I should pray for him. I prayed for him. And he traveled. And after that, once in a while, he would just send a message. How are you, Daddy? God bless you. I'm broke. Daddy, God bless you. There's no food for me to eat. I'll be like, look at this boy. A boy that is supposed to be with me. That I'm supposed to put you in a place where you work, where you would make life. As soon as he could escape, he went back to, I don't know, maybe a cousin, a friend, I don't know, to start in his head. He wanted to hustle for himself. And I decided to let him be. See, a lot of us are like that. So many of us. You have come into a kingdom. There has to be a change of thinking. It is in that thinking place that many Nigerian Christians, especially many pastors, they've destroyed many Nigerian Christians' faith in the area of thinking. They put intents that are ungodly in people's mind. They are the ones that will come with prayer points that many of us are buying their book, and we are, and those prayer points are not helping us. It is in those prayer points we see enemy of father's house, enemy of mother's house, anybody that is the demon called poverty, the demon called dying young. It is these religious people who are they, so in Nigeria we have people that are full of the Holy Spirit. We have Christians who are born again, but we have 99% wrong things. They are always thinking of somebody is chasing me. Somebody is killing me. Before they kill you, kill them. Before they talk to you. Hey, I am breaker. Please. Born again, do not do that. What kind of nonsense? The spirit, and you don't know how to do it. You don't bash it. If you don't know how to die, you destroy it. If I give you the Holy Ghost, you don't know how to take that chance. Will use the Holy Ghost to advantage. It's one of the most speaking tongue, but something about enemy. He said, oh my, it is so frustrating. I love that all of the religious YouTube channels that I know, the apostle, people, the mind of Christ, the mind of Christ, they make the good descent. And when you descend, you go to hell, you go to the realm of darkness. Because they're always telling Christians about darkness, about evil, about the devil. Which realm will you go? You will go to your own feet. That's why the Bible says, I put the devil under your feet. The devil is in hell. Everyone that is talking about devil, enemy, family tree, when you pray, you are praying that word. For in heaven, Hebrews chapter 12, go read it. He said, there are two mountains. Hey, God, give me the right words for you. There are two mountains. He said, there is a mountain where they got the law. He said, was so fearful and so terrifying that the animal that goes near that mountain was put to death. He said, this mountain represents the law, represents this world, represents the devil and all this evil. He said, this is not our mountain. This is not our mountain. He said, that was a mountain Sarah. Jerusalem. By yourself, you must think like those who dwell there. Must allow the thinking of Jesus. Must think right. You open. All things are new. You realize that all things are new. So I can say boldly, I'm boldly say, the Lord is on my side. The Lord is on my side. Something. You will say nothing can stand in my way. And you will mean it. You will tell it is something to shut. You will keep quiet. You will be able to plot them evil against you. When the ones on the right you have escaped. When the ones on the left you have escaped. When the blood in front you have escaped. Because you are bigger than them. They realize that this guy is untouchable. They are hardy. He debated on that son. He benia. I wish you know. The simplicity of the gospel of my salvation, the gospel that brought me out of nothing and brought me into a place of heavenly benefits, the gospel that that showed me the fullness of who I am in Christ. How many you would know and that you will become? This is my cry to nations. This is my cry to nations. This is why I left the nominal churches and walked away from them. Teach them the gospel. See, I'm so the sleep man now. I my chains on my head. You know nothing about. We are in this thing. As you think about the wrong knowledge, before you destroy their life. People cannot think twice. People cannot become like Christ. They said that the girl, they chased me out of church. Me, out of church. Myself and pastor, put in war. I cannot hear it. They will feed me with nonsense. I saw. Sit down here and you tell me that I'm born again. That's the enemy. I will not accept it. That's the point of being born again. That's the point of the cross I accepted. What is the point of Jesus on the cross? What is the point of receiving the Holy Ghost? What is the supernatural in my life? And yet, this is what they feed the churches. The churches. The church. They're offering. People are sitting in rubbish. People are sitting home. They said, our father's enemies. What comes to you in the morning? What is it in the afternoon? What is it at night? In the afternoon. And the pastor will be teaching you this thing. And you are giving him offering. And I'm paying thanks to him. This person is really your number one enemy. The peritone and felt. I mean, it's about to have the felt in the Republic. I say, no, fuck, you don't know scripture. You are reading your Bible, you are believing what this man is saying. Like, and I see people building huge, huge stadiums. People will be filled there. People, so from thousands. They will flock there and they will be fed with rubbish. And their mindset is nothing. And their prayer points will not change. They will start, they become born again at the age of 20 or 25. They will still be praying the same prayer point at the age of 65. There is no growth. There is no change. Why? They are full of the Holy Spirit. Why? They are saved. Why? They do not have the mind of Christ. Why? They cannot access the supernatural. So it is like having access to the best and yet not having the courage to walk into it and possess it. The things that make me cry, the things that breaks my heart, that keeps me awake, that keeps me at my laptop, writing, preaching 3 times a day, 4 times a day. The things that does not make me collect on the way of anybody. When I go to any church, I'll tell them, be able to preach the gospel that will not say, we want to, I will be the one to give them money. I think they invite me to any church, I will go. I will carry the whole team. We will heal the sick. We will do all the work. I will simply be the one to give them money. I've never been to a church that I didn't give money in my life. I'll be the one to give them money. I want to show them the gospel. I want to show them. And this gospel of these people. The right way. The best of and shall no sorrow to it. The copan de gadabarati shasa. Lady Diara Katushi Teberiado Shasaya. It is very important, very vital, very vital that you understand this gospel. Very vital that you have an understanding of what this gospel is, of the truth of it, of the fullness of it, and of the power of it. If you do not possess that which you know, if you do not walk in the fullness of that which you know, it will go. It is important today, as I speak to you by the Spirit, that you understand that this gospel has set you free. That this gospel has given you a new life. That this gospel has given you a new way of thinking. You are not demonstrating the fullness of it because you are not aligning your thoughts. You are not learning how to have the mind of Christ. You are not mastering the mind of Christ. This is where the problem is. And this is why you struggle to gain supernatural ascent. This is where the problem is. I have diagnosed it. I have found it to be true. This is where the challenge is. The fact that there is a challenge in how you process your thinking. God has given you a perfect spirit. You receive the perfect salvation. But Apostle Paul clearly wrote that, hey, you have to renew your mind. Apostle Paul wrote it clearly. He didn't say he gave you a perfect mind. You received the perfect spirit. You received the perfect salvation. But you have to renew your mind. You. When you begin to think the right thought, when you begin to lay claim to all the things that God has said are yours, when you begin to lay your hand, to lay hold of the things that Christ has purchased for you by his blood, when you begin to see yourself as Christ expects you to see yourself, when you begin to see yourself as seated with him in heavenly places, when you begin to see yourself as one who has come into his fullness, when you begin to speak as one who has received the fullness of God, you begin to see the changes. It is just natural. Then you begin to see angels walking into your room as if they are your next door neighbor. I'm not making it up. This is a truth I know. You'll be praying like this. You just see an angel just walking. It is not because anybody is specially anointed. It is because your thoughts have to align. Otherwise, the angel will walk in and it will do you harm. Imagine that an angel is about to come into your room. And you are demon conscious. You are saying, hey, everyone, they are coming to my room. Fire, fire, fire. And then an angel is coming. The angel will think, he's calling me a demon. The angel will turn back. Because if you see the angel, you will think it's a demon. You are not used to such sights. You do not even know that it is possible for angels to walk into your room. You do not think it is possible. There are some of us, when I will teach them scripture, they will come back to me and they will say, I was sleeping at night, and then I had a vision. And then I just saw this person. He just came into the room. He was shining. I jumped out of my sleep. I said, why did you jack out? Say, because there used to be somebody that used to sleep with me in my dream before I became born again. I said, but you are now born again. You have to renew this mind. You are pulling yourself out of God's presence Because you are not used to it. You are behaving like my adopted son. You are not used to good things. And the more we try to show you that all things are yours in Christ, the more you argue. Some people will even see that if anybody says there is no enemy, I cannot marry that person. May God forgive our pastors that are teaching people all these bad things. May God forgive them, because it is not scriptural at all to teach Christians about enemy, about demon, about all these things, and for Christians to believe it and turn it to an article of faith that they're even teaching their own children. You hear children praying in schools, in primary schools. They will start praying. The next thing they are talking about witches, they are talking about witches, any witch, any power that want to stop us. That has become, and everybody thinks that's a good prayer. No. No. That is why we are not ascending. It is natural for angels to walk into your room. Natural for ministering spirits to speak to you. It's natural for you to receive the mysteries, the deep mysteries of God. It is natural for you to experience God in his fullness at every level. It is natural. But you must have the mind to process it. There was a movie they called The Ghost Must Be Crazy. Somebody threw a bottle of Coke from an airplane. The thing landed on the ground and did not break. And that bottle became a problem for those who are in the Kalahari Desert, because they did not know the origin. They thought it was God. They were fighting over it, fighting over it. Why? Because they didn't have a renewed mind. When your mind is closed, you are going to suffer. It's not the devil, it's not the enemy, it is you. You have come to Mount Zion, the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to the church of the firstborn. You have come to Christ. You have come to the marriage company of angels. You have come to the spirit of judgment made perfect. If you look at your scripture, you will see why it is normal for you to see angels, to see spirit of judgment made perfect. If you sit down now, Apostle Paul comes to your room, it shouldn't be a big deal. It is in your environment to see Apostle Paul, to see Peter. And when you see them, you have a knowing that this is the person. And you talk to them. You see them when you are awake. You see them in your vision. But how many people have seen them in the church today? Almost none. Just a few can mention that, oh, I saw Apostle Paul yesterday. Why? Because your mind is not renewed. This is the problem. This is where the problem is. If you change your mind and you begin to confess and make declarations and speak as you are supposed to speak, and when you read your scriptures, you affirm what the Bible is saying, in no time your mind will change. Once your mind changes, illumination will come. Once illumination comes, you will begin to ascend. Christianity is not rocket science. It is the simplest thing to understand. Once you accept the new mind of Christ, you can see all things and you know all things. This is my message for you today. I apologize to those who maybe at the point who couldn't hear me. I don't know what happened, but I apologize for that. We have tarried in the presence of God. We have prayed. We have heard the word. It is time for us to take what we have learned and take dominion. Do not talk about enemy anymore. You are now in Christ. Therefore, the era of thinking of enemy is gone. Do not talk about your sin anymore. You are now in Christ. The era of sin is gone. You have now come into the era of Christ. This is the era now. So you have gone through the era of sin when you were born. And when Jesus came, he destroyed that era. You were in the era of enemy before you became born again. But Jesus said that once you are my enemy, but now I have reconciled you. I have brought you close. I have divided. The wall of partition has been removed. I have made one nation out of you. So now you are no longer enemy. You are now child of God. You are in the era of Christ now. Therefore, you must begin to think in the light of the era of Christ. The old government is gone. Jesus is now your Lord and Savior. Jesus is a blessing. Those who accept him must know him. You must grow in the knowledge of Christ. That is what I'm asking you to do. Read about Christ. Talk like Christ. Make declaration, bold, crazy declarations. I'm a child of God. I'm full of the Holy Spirit. Nothing shall by any means hurt me. I've overcome the world. That's how I speak. I'll speak in tongues. I'll speak like that. When I had nothing, when I was living in a flat in K2 and I had nothing, and I know the scripture, I'll wake up at night, I'll be jumping. Ah, the deeper river. This is the victory that overcomes the world. My spirit is the victory that overcomes the world. My spirit is the I'll be screaming, I'll be shouting, for the scripture is alive in my spirit. And the Lord began to make ways. The Lord began to open doors. The more I speak, the more I know, the more the Lord showed miracles, signs, and wonders and greatness without delay. This is my message to you. Try the supernatural. You have lived in the natural realm for so long. You have lived in religion for so long. Break those barriers. Change your prayer. Change your thinking. Change everything. Develop the mind of Christ. You will begin to sit with kings in the spirit, and you will sit with kings in the physical. For God will show you where He has ordained you, and you will be there, and you will prosper mightily. Thank you, Father, for the offering of your children. Thank you for blessing them with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Blessed be your holy name, Lord. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. If you are blessed, please shout glory.
Glory.
We hope you have been blessed by the teaching and revelation you heard today. For more spirit-filled teachings, please visit the ministry website at www.gswmi.com. God bless.